Hello, my peeps, and welcome back to another episode of Workday Playdate with Improve It. I'm your host, your girl, Erin Deal, your fearless leader of laughter, learning, and letting humans be humans at work. Now, if you're new here, this is the show that treats leadership development like a giant game of adult recess. We grow, we play, we bring snacks, we mess up, we learn, and we keep going. So this month, we are celebrating one theme. The empathetic leader, the leader who shows up, who listens, who cares and connects, the leader who brings heart into the boardroom, the leader who does not pretend to be perfect, polished, or plastic. So today, we are talking about something that sounds so simple, but is actually rare here on planet corporate or small biz, if you're a small biz owner. Being yourself at work. Showing up as the real you, not the cardboard cutout version of you, not the LinkedIn bio version of you, the full human breathing feeling version. And to help us explore this, we brought back somebody to this show who has been here before, who inspires thousands of leaders to show up with courage and authenticity. If you missed her first episode, we'll link it in the show notes. And I would love for you to check it out because it was so powerful. But today, we get part two. So here's the deal. Most people do not feel like they can be themselves at work. Instead, they shrink, they filter themselves, or they go silent. They wear a character costume to survive the day. Now, Gallup research shows that only 1 in 10 employees feel safe being fully authentic at work. That means 9 out of 10 are showing up with emotional armor. Now, when humans feel like they have to fit in instead of stand out, we lose creativity, innovation, loyalty, honesty, curiosity, and trust. When people are busy performing, they are not contributing. And what happens next? People burn out. They disconnect. They job hop. They stop taking risks. And worse, they stop caring. If leaders want belonging, engagement, and collaboration, authenticity is not optional. It is strategy. So here is what I call your aha, ha-ha moment or your epiphany. That's when you're laughing and the light bulb goes off, okay? Do a little giggle right now. When people feel free to be themselves, they work harder, they collaborate better, and they stay longer. Studies show that workplaces with high psychological safety have stronger performance, faster innovation, and way lower turnover. Now, the strongest teams are built on trust, but trust cannot exist where authenticity is missing. You cannot build a culture of belonging when your people are hiding. You cannot lead with empathy if you yourself are wearing a mask. If we want workplaces where humans thrive, we must create cultures where individuality is welcome and identity is not something to hide. And today's guest has built her life's mission around that work. The one, the only Claude Silver is on a mission to revolutionize leadership, talent, and workplace culture. Now, she is the world's first chief heart officer at VaynerX, partnering with CEO Gary Vaynerchuk to build organizations where people feel seen, valued, and supported. Now, Claude has earned Campaign US's Female Frontier Award and Adweek's Changing the Game Award. She speaks all over at national and international conferences, working with Meta, Google, just small names, US government agencies, and the US Armed Forces. Now, she's been featured in the New York Times, Forbes, and the Wall Street Journal. She is also the author of her new book, Be Yourself at Work. She lives in New Jersey with her wife and 2 young kids, proving that leadership with heart works at home too. Let's give a big round of applause to Claude Silver and welcome her to today's play date. Let's play. Okay, peeps, y'all aren't even ready. I'm not even ready. We have the one, the only, Claude Silver back on this show. She was here when we were Improve It, and now she's back on the play day. Welcome, Claude, so much.
Thank you.
We're doing a happy dance.
My girl, Claude. Thank you for having me.
Because we're doing a happy dance. I'm so happy you're back. I told you this. Your show, your episode was one of our most downloaded episodes. Obviously, the world loves you. I am going to hold this up. If you're listening to the show, you cannot see this, but Claude endorsed my book and it meant the world to me. I almost cried. Thank you so much. Because you are the empathy queen. Like you are, you practice what you preach and you are so real. So let's do this before we dive in and we talk all about this new book. Let's just take a deep breath. Let's take a moment. And let's just try to set a one-word intention that you want to either get or receive out of today's show. What is one word that comes to mind for you?
Joy.
Yes. That's my word of the month, by the way.
Is it?
Yes, Claude.
Wow. Bingo.
It's joy flow, by the way. That is a word. I did Google it, but we put it together because I couldn't decide between two, joy and flow. So joy flow, but joy is part of it. Okay.
Joy flow. I love also. I do. And you know what? Being that you love the water, I love the water. That makes so much sense to me. Joy flow. Yes. Let it like release it to others. Release it to this world. We need it. We need it. We need it.
We sure freaking do. So wait, let's start there. What about water is calming for you? Because we were starting just before we hit record talking about where we live. So tell me why water is a connection for you. What connects you to water?
I mean, flow, movement, bigger than me, living. You know, I taught surfing for many years in San Francisco.
Stop.
In the cold water of San Francisco.
I did not know that.
Yes. So I appreciate and bow down to the water. I really, really do. And the ocean.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the Hudson River right now. It's water.
It's so calming. I feel that so deeply. Like, when I'm around water, I feel joy. I feel calm. Some people say the ocean with the waves is too much. But for me, it's like this calming presence. I cannot believe you are a surf instructor. We need to start there. How did that parlay into this amazing career? How did we go from surf instructor to here? Claude, this is news.
This is news. This is news. It's in the book. So I've always been a natural coach, kind of a player coach, you know, on the field, captain type of gal. I really, really love cheerleading for people. I love it. And so it was after the first dot-com bust, right after 9/11 in San Francisco, my friend and I had both gotten laid off and we were literally like, well, what can we teach? Oh, okay. I can teach rock climbing. Oh, she said, oh, I can teach this. I was like, well, what about surfing? And we both knew we surfed. Could we teach it? I'm not sure. So we started a company called Girls Adventure Out. We ran it for 5 years. We later sold it to one of our surf instructors in Santa Cruz, California. He still has it. It's called Adventure Out. And I literally was in the water, I don't know, almost 300 days a year. I had a killer tan from the neck up and the wrist down. Because you're wearing a thick, thick, thick wetsuit in California, in San Francisco. And I just loved every minute of it. I would do it again. I would do it today. I would do it again. Oh,
that is so dope.
I loved it.
That is literally, that is a goal of mine. That was actually something I thought about when moving to Charleston, was learning to surf. Still haven't done it. Putting it on the bucket list. Okay.
You're going to be great at it, actually.
Really?
Yeah, you're going to be great at it. I just know that.
Is it a lot of mental work?
Yes, which you're great at.
Okay, I'm doing it. Claude Silver says I can.
And balance.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to try it. Here I go. I will let you know how it goes. And if there's any injuries, I will let you know. I will let you know both. Okay, so now you've left this life in San Francisco. Fast forward, you're working at VaynerX with Gary Vee, the one and only Gary Vee. You become this amazing chief heart officer. We talked on this show, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, Claude, that you were on this show. And we talked about empathy being the secret sauce, pouring it on everything. And now, 2025, 2026, Claude, you are an author again. you are an amazing, amazing chief people officer. What has happened for you in the past couple of years? Just catch us up. Like, let's just say from 2023 to 2025, what has gone on to bring out this book right now?
Wow. Well, for those last years, I've been writing this book. So I have been knee deep in trying to articulate what's in here, and getting it out on paper, which, as you know, as an author, isn't easy to do. Because it makes so much sense here, but then getting it out into a way that people will digest it. So that's a big part of it. I think also, I now have a 4.5-year-old and a 7-year-old. So 2.5 years ago, I mean, I had a 2-year-old. So life was very, very different in terms of how I spent my time after work, outside of work, you know, that kind of stuff. I think the other thing that's happened is I'm 56 and I love that. And I'm 56 and I realize, like, I've had a great first half and the back nine is going to be even better. And I'm just aware of that. I'm aware now that I have children and the things I want to do with them. And so making sure that I make time very soon to do things like coach softball or be in the PTA and those things that mean so much to me. So that's something that has been brewing for the past couple of years. And I'm going to make time to do that because it's a priority. And, you know, I've been moving my thinking somewhat from 1,000% empathy is the secret sauce, which is kindness and compassion. And we learn that, we teach that to our children, we learn that as children. And now I've really been thinking about emotional fluency and what that really means in terms of being able to speak human. It's one thing to know EQ and to know yourself, but then to be able to take that and speak that to another, I think that's really where you can show the empathy and you can show, you know, your heart. And so that was brewing as I was writing the book. I was thinking, okay, what I'm really talking about is just being human, showing up as a human and speaking human.
Yep. Which is so much easier said than done because there's so many layers that we bring to our lives at work specifically. So let's talk about this. You use this phrase, authentic present. What does that mean? And how can we start practicing it?
Yeah. Well, first, let's just talk about being present. Putting your feet on the floor, putting your phone away, maybe closing your eyes, listening. What do you hear? What do you feel? What do you taste? Like all these things that we can do that take 30 seconds so we can just ground ourselves and just kind of like feel our seat, like feel our butt on the chair, our feet on the floor, right? That's the first thing.
Yep.
And we're in this rush. All of us are in this rush to go somewhere. I don't know. But we have this false sense of urgency in our workplaces that keep us from being present, I think. Truly, that keep us from like, how does Claude feel right now? And like, is the only time I can really feel myself when I go to the bathroom and I have 3 minutes to myself? That's not good enough. So,
right.
I want people to just get present with like what they feel, what they hear, what they see when they open their eyes. The authentic part is only you know what's present for you. So you're sitting in a room with other people and we're all having different experiences. What's your experience? That's what matters. And then, of course, if I was talking to Bob, what's his experience and her experience? So I think the more we can figure out what our experience is, we can take that extra minute to figure out how we're going to act or react.
Mm.
Because that's a whole part of it, right? Our act or react, jumping in on someone's conversation and interrupting them or being excited and just saying like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like just what's going on for you?
Mm. Okay. I said this quote to my team this week and we have a Slack quote board. So I'm going to say it and it fits in with what we're talking about. And I said, for 15 years, I don't even think I knew what my nervous system was. because I lived in Chicago. I lived in the city. And it was like this, it was like if my cortisol wasn't at a 20 out of 10, I wasn't productive. Like if I wasn't like, oh, I've got a client meeting. I've got such and such. Busy was like this badge of honor. There was no step back, no check-in for myself, no awareness of like anxiety was baseline. Yeah.
Baseline.
Right?
Yeah. Amazing.
And it took some time to take a step back. And now we used to have an office back then. I don't work in an office. I work from home. And I'll tell you what, Claude, even before we hit record here today, I took a few minutes and I just was like, what do I want to feel in this conversation? Where am I? I checked in. And that is something I've never done in my professional life until the past maybe 4 or 5 years.
Thank God. Good. Good.
Yes. But I'm just saying what you're preaching is like, if everyone could hear this right now, literally, I want to send this conversation to 5 people right now, because we don't have to feel that, right?
We don't. And I think we go back to the word joy flow.
Yes.
And whether or not you're feeling joy or not, what I want you to know is that you have the ability to let your emotions flow.
That's right.
Let them go. You are not your emotions. They are just data. They are just telling you, mayday, mayday, this doesn't feel good, or this feels great. You are not your emotions. So let them flow.
That's it. That is it. And, you know, I heard this analogy once, like be the rock in a stream and just let them flow through you and around you, right? So, okay, for so many years, we've heard this term in the workplace to fit in, to be professional and be a culture fit, right? Those words all kind of run hand in hand. Why are those things outdated? Why don't they matter anymore?
That word gives me a rash, culture fit. Mm-hmm. It really, really mm-hmm. does. It just boxes people into, you got to look like this. You got to sound like yep. this. You got to dress like this. Apples, 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 apples. And that's not the world we live in.
That's it.
So we come to work and all of a sudden we let go of the world in which we live in. But it's crazy, right? Like we're part of this macrocosm out there. And then when we come into the workplace, we all of a sudden button up and are like, I'm an apple. I only want to be around apples. Like
beep, boop, beep, apple. It's an Apple computer, you know, another Apple.
So culture fit is exclusionary. That's what I
yes.
think. It does
I
not.
I agree with you.
Yeah. It's like, oh, what's wrong with that person? Oh, they don't look like you. Oh, they don't have the same color skin as you. Like what's going on here? They don't talk like you. Like, forget about that. The world is bountiful and filled with all different types of people. So we need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. We need to check our biases. We all have them.
Yep.
And like just, it's not culture fit. It's culture addition.
Yes. Okay. I love that. Because we on an improv stage, and you know, that's what we do around this
yep.
joint
oh,
is some improv. If everybody acts the same, there's actually a teacher that I love. I had her in Chicago. I'll give her a shout out. Her name is Susan Messing. And her biggest takeaway is a phrase that she uses all the time, and it's own your shit. Like, own your shit. And so when you come into a scene, if you're playing this big, wacky character, you own that for the course of the scene. If you're playing a, you know, a more quiet, reserved character, you own your shit. Like, you're going to own that. So I think of this almost like an improv stage. You own who you are. That makes the scene beautiful, right? Like the more different characters we have, the greater the scene, the more we can expand. What do you think?
Whew, I love that so much. Like, I love that. What we're talking about with flow and expansion and giving ourselves permission to just sit for a second and settle. This stuff is like, this is where we are today, and we need to have more of these conversations because the world can be very scary for people. And mm-hmm. scare and fear, people don't want to expand. They want to stay very, very small. So so that they don't get affected by it. In the workplace, that's just not possible. The more you expand, the more you own your shit, the more creative, collaborative, dare I say, warmer you might be, you know, engaging. Oh my God, I want to jam with you on that. Let me help you. Here are my slides. Look at those slides. Like, that's the collaboration that is needed today. That's the collaboration I believe that's really needed in this world. It's just called building a bridge.
That's right. That's right. And it's so much easier to show up as yourself than pretend to be somebody else.
That's the thing. That's the thing. And I do understand. I just want to say, I come from an entitled place. I'm a white woman. It's very easy for me in the working world, much easier than if I was a BIPOC woman, probably, or someone that, you know, outwardly looked different. I really get that. But I don't want that to be the norm anymore. It's just old and archaic. And we as a civilization, I truly believe, have outgrown it, but we're afraid to let it go.
So afraid. So afraid. Wouldn't it be cool, Claude, if the world could be run by love and not fear? Wouldn't that be a different place?
Hello. Yeah.
Hello. Ding, dang, dong. Ding, dang, dong. We're doing heart emojis. I wish this was Zoom and the heart emojis just flew up, you know? Like, truly, truly. Because think about it. Like, and this is the thing that we say in an improv stage, right? Like, you have to go on stage, go full force. You have to leave fear at the door, feel the fear and do it anyway. And you have to love your scene partners. You have to show up for each other. Like, this is legit what we are taught. And so I promise you, Claude, if you could sit, I have 22 facilitators, get us in a room.
Okay.
Get us in a room. The feeling, the vibe, the energy is we are taught to yes and each other, which means not negate, to support ideas, even if we don't agree. And it literally is like the most joyful experience of your life. So I truly believe like what you're teaching, what we teach with improv, like goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
And it's the same language. It's just taught differently. And it's like, let's go. Let's bring it out.
Let's bring it out. And I tell you what, our biggest philosophy here is yes and. Mm-hmm. It is yes. Mm-hmm. And it's not but, it's not no. And so we've taken some of improv into this world with ourselves and with our clients, because there are solutions and options for just about anything mm-hmm. in the workplace. With the exception of someone's health, everything should be a yes and.
That's right. And I know I feel that from you. Hi, peeps. I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Claude Silver. We will be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. Okay, peeps, before we jump back in, I want to tell you about something we created at Improve It that is transforming workplaces everywhere. It is called the Empathetic Leader Keynote. Now, at Improve It, we believe we are leaders because of our actions, not our titles. And the number one factor that keeps talent engaged and retained is something called positive relational energy. Now, when leaders show up with empathy, self-awareness, and compassion, teams thrive. Now, we've created this keynote as a high-energy, interactive, improv-infused experience that blends emotional intelligence, confidence building, and movement. You will learn how your thoughts shape your words, how your words shape your culture, and how to create your own ideal day. If your organization is ready to move from scarcity to abundance, reach out to learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com to bring the empathetic leader keynote to your team. You're listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Now back to my conversation with Claude Silver. You work very closely with Gary Vaynerchuk, who I read his book, I think when I, his very, very first book, which I'm blanking on.
Was it Crush It or was it Jab, Jab, Jab?
Crush It.
Crush It. Yeah.
Crush It. I read that right before I started Improve It 14, 15 years ago. You know, it stuck with me. He's so unapologetically himself. So what have you learned from watching him show up so vulnerably and just unapologetically?
Really? And I'm going to answer the questions. What haven't I learned?
Yeah.
Truly, truly. The guy is not afraid. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind. He says it with love. He says it with purpose. That is the one thing I tell everyone here. If he says something, he's meant it. He doesn't say anything. He has nothing better to do. So I have learned an enormous amount of patience. I really have learned what playing the long game is about, the marathon, not a sprint. You don't do it tomorrow. And not only have I learned that for myself and my world, but I've learned how to express that and share that with other people who are like, I got to get promoted tomorrow. It's like, no, yeah. No, you don't. You sit in that role for a bit longer. Why don't you become an expert at your domain? There's no rush here, my friends. I know you think getting promoted gets you more money and all of that stuff, but like, just sit and stay and learn and marinate. And that's really one of the things, best thing I've learned from him, I would say, is the patience game. And also trusting first, you know, trust people first. And I always have, but I didn't know what it was called. I thought, you know, my friends or people would be like, you're so gullible, Claude. And it's like, am I gullible or am I just taking a chance on someone?
Sure.
Taking a chance on someone.
Really taking a chance. Because you can feel it, Claude. Like every, you know, I met you 3 years ago-ish. And I, you know, I follow you on LinkedIn. We're friends on Instagram, all the things. Everything you do has heart. That's why you're the chief heart officer. I couldn't see that the trust being not there. I think where you lead from and even using like the intentional choice behind the word chief heart officer does not go unnoticed to me. And it just spreads love. It just spreads love, which is amazing.
Yeah. I mean that. So, you know, you said 5 minutes ago, you said, wouldn't it be incredible if the world was run by love, not fear? And when I was 25, I was in San Francisco and I remember the minute, the moment, what I was doing, what I was looking at. And I was reading Return to Love by Marianne Williamson.
Okay. I just got full body chills. Okay. We got to talk about this book. Keep going. So you and me, we're on the same wavelength in life.
And in that book, what does she say? If you are not in love, you are in fear. And I remember 25 years old saying to myself, I want to be in love. It was such a moment for me. And she continues to be a real inspiration for me. That book, I mean, I still own it on Audible. I have it, you know, dog-eared and on the shelf here. Like that's it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've tried to get through A Course in Miracles, like from cover. It's a big book. It's a very big book. And so it is going to sit under my bed for a long time. But the way she wrote that book, and that book came at such a pinnacle time in my life. I want to say it's maybe right before we met a couple years ago. I read it and it was like a full homecoming to my soul. Like,
oh, yeah. Love that. That's it.
Yeah. There was like some real dark times, you know, and it really reminded me what the assignment is. And it brought me back to that. So let's talk about that. I'm so curious. What is your assignment? Like when you look at your life, like, did you know that you would be here in this role today? Or what did you think the assignment was compared to what it is?
So I've always known the assignment was to be of service. I have known that probably since I was 5. My family does it, my grandma, my nana, you know, people that I was surrounded with. And it wasn't until maybe 7 years ago that I put the word joyful in front of service.
My
purpose is to be of joyful service. That is my assignment in each and every way I possibly can. And that also means when I am walking down the street and I see someone homeless, and I, of course, my first bias is X, Y, and Z, I immediately say to myself, God is inside of that person. God is inside of that person. How can I serve that person? And I'm not stopping necessarily to buy a coffee or all of that stuff. We're all connected. That's what I'm saying. We're all connected. And so by saying that, I just feel like at least I'm putting out love rather than whatever else I could or we all put out about people who are very different than us and, you know, don't have the same means or have made bad choices in their life or whatever. So that's what it's about for me. It's joyful service. I have always known that I was going to be of service. I called it servant leadership back in the day. I don't use that term now for obvious reasons. And that's why I use heart-led or empathetic leadership.
I love it. Yes. Joyful. There's the word again. There's the intention. It's back. It's back.
Yeah.
And you radiate it. You know, people, so you're not just walking the walk, you're talking the talk. And I'm so thrilled to just know you and to just have you as an example of what it looks like in action. So know that,
thank
Claude,
you.
Like seriously.
Thank you.
I want to talk about that in a way of stories. I want to talk about, is there a story? Maybe it's from the book, Be Yourself at Work. Maybe it's just something that comes to mind for you, which everybody must get a copy of, okay, which we will put the link in the show notes. But what is a story that comes to mind for you about somebody showing up as their real, most authentic self? Somebody, do you know somebody, or is there a story from the book that you could share where that person was in total alignment with the assignment? They showed up as themselves, and what happened to that human being?
Well, I mean, the first story in the book is how someone showed up as their authentic self for me and kicked my butt.
Let's hear that.
I mean, and not figuratively, right? Like the Outward Bound story that I talk about, I think on like page one or two, when I took myself out of college after my sophomore year because I was going nowhere fast, real fast, right? And I just knew, well, that's not the plan, right? I just got off course for a bit. And so I left school and I found the longest outdoor adventure course I could find. It was 93 days, Colorado, Outward Bound. Boy, oh boy, I had no idea what I was getting into because I was out of shape. I had been doing drugs, all, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I was 19 and I was the only young woman with 9 young men. We were all 18 to 20 years old. And all I knew was, there was going to be no toilet paper or toilets. You were basically not going to sleep in a tent, and you were going to learn how to survive in the wilderness and lead in the wilderness. Okay. So I show up. Here we go. Day one, we all are carrying 80 pounds on our back. We get issued a government block of cheddar cheese, a container of peanut butter, which I don't eat to this day. I mean, gross. A first generation power bar, they don't even make them. And these iodine tablets to put in your water, because where are you going to get the water from?
Oh, God.
The river.
Right.
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 And all kinds of things are in streams and rivers in the wilderness.
They sure are. They sure are.
So here I am. It's snowing. It's sleeting. It's raining. We're already at probably 9,000 feet up. We need to climb another 1,000 feet to get to wherever we're going to get to that night and sleep under tarps. And all the guys shoot up the mountain because they're very fast. And here I am in this yellow rain slicker, hating life. You know, it's got that baseball brim on it right here. Hating life, wishing I would break my ankle. Please, please, please let me just trip right now. Let me just go home. I just want to go back to my self-sabotaging ways. That's comfortable for me. And I had a female instructor for the first 18 days. And she comes all the way down and she looks at me like this close to me. She's like a foot and a half away from my face and I'm crying. She's so centered on her mission. She says to me, "What is going on in your head?" Well, I'm not centered or grounded. And I said, "Well, I'm singing, you know, the Nine Inch Nails song, Head Like a Hole, Black as Your Soul. I'd rather die than give you control."
Oh, God.
Without taking a beat. And she goes, "You better get another song in your head." And that was a moment. I was 19. That was a very long time ago. And that has stuck with me ever since. "You better get another song in your head." And it was the first time I remember thinking, "Oh, shoot. You mean only I can change this?
Yes.
That's too much responsibility for me. Really?" But I tell you, 93 days later, I came out a very different person, much more confident with myself physically, emotionally, you know, mentally. I had, you know, I kind of bared my soul. We all had for 93 days, but she said, you better get another song in your head. And I was like, huh, well, F you, first of all, but okay. And I eventually did.
That is an amazing story. First of all, 93 days.
Every 18 days, we would get a hot shower. We would get to resupply and go out for dinner. Maybe it was Denny's, whatever was around. We would get snail mail because it was 1991. And we would use a payphone to call home.
Wow. 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 Okay. So many thoughts about that. But also I want to talk about the song in your head because you use that as a sign off on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. What is your sign? What songs are in your head today? Like what songs are you singing or hopefully singing today?
Well, that's a question to ask your audience, because if you tune in and get present to that, now that's not going to say, listen, I have random songs in my head all day long. It just so happened that moment I was in self-sabotage world and I was like dark and I was like, yeah, head like a hole, black as your soul. I mean, I have like 60s, 70s, 80s and more in my head on any given basis. But sometimes I do try to figure out, is that telling me something? You know, is there something I should pay attention to? I woke up singing one of Taylor Swift's new songs.
Which one?
The first one is
The Fate of Ophelia.
Yeah, I mean, I love it.
Okay, so good. So good. Me too.
And I woke up singing that song today, but like, there's no rhyme or reason there. Maybe I just woke up happy.
Yeah, yeah. That is, I mean, when you think about the metaphor of your story, and now I love that the story is full circle for me when I see that sign off. It's so important because our thoughts really do shape everything. They shape our words. Words are wands. They shape our lives. The fact that you put yourself through this program, the fact that you stuck with this program, the fact that you, I mean, would you be here right now without it? Do you think?
No way, Jose. I don't know where I'd be, but it wouldn't be here. And so that was the first taste that I got of, first and foremost, servant leadership, because that's what we learned, how to be servant leaders, how do we show up in the world as that. And then I learned all of these traits of emotional intelligence. And that's when I said to myself, oh, that's my intelligence. That's my smarts. I took the SATs 3 times untimed. I suck at that.
Me too.
Right?
Me too.
The EQ that I identify with. And so that was really empowering for me at a time in my life where I could have gone right or left.
You talk about emotional intelligence in the book. You talk about 3 pillars. Am I right in saying that? 3 pillars.
Yep.
So I want to tease that a little bit. I don't want us to jump into it because we're going to have our audience, the peeps, we call our audience the peeps, buy your book.
Great.
And get into it, because this book came out of you in a time when you were realizing I needed to share this with the world. A part of my joyful service is sharing this information with the world. And I just am in awe and shock of what you've created, knowing that this Outward Bound program was the beginning days. So let's talk about this. When you think, I want to ask you a couple of fun questions, okay? These are rapid fire. Okay, I want you to fill in the blank. Work gets better when humans stop pretending and start what?
Showing up as themselves.
Yes. Okay. What is one leadership belief you hope the world abandons for good?
Top-down leadership sucks.
Yes. What should we be doing instead?
Leaders come in all shapes and sizes, and we need to give everyone the space in the room to speak and yes and.
Breaking my language, Cloud. Okay. You work with leaders under pressure, influence, and scrutiny. What keeps you grounded? Claude Silver.
My North Star. I'm here to be of joyful service.
I love it. Okay. If somebody listening has no idea who their real self is anymore, where should they start?
Okay. That's a great question. And it's not a rapid fire answer.
All right. Give me the slow fire. Give me the campfire version.
I want you to take out a piece of paper and I want you to write down your values. What do you value? And if you don't know, then go on the internet and say, what are the 35,000 values in this world? And I want you to find 10 and circle them. You value them. Why do you value them? Then I want you to do, what happens when you get mad? What are your triggers? Okay, so one of my triggers is when people I'm around and believe in are unaccountable. It makes me go out the window, and I don't go out the window often. It bothers me to no end because I used to be unaccountable, right? Yeah, spot it, you got it. So then I want you to write down your triggers, okay? And then I really want you to have, you have your values and you have your triggers. And then I want you to go talk to your friends or your coworkers and ask them, why do you want me on your team or why are we friends? Start here, your values, your triggers. Why do people want to be around you? That is what I would start with. Then you have a journey to go on, which is to figure out who you are. Are you the person your friends know? Or are you the person your coworkers know? Or are you the person that your triggers know? Who is you? Who is you? It's not even grammar. Who is you? But
it's, who is you?
Who is you? It's so important because once you can figure out some self-awareness techniques and you get on that journey, and by the way, we're going to be on that journey forever. Some people won't start until their last breath. And that's okay too. But for a lot of us, we are chugging along and we're on that journey. Therapy helps, coaching helps. Julia Cameron, The Artist Way.
Namaste, namaste. Yes, Return to Love, a Marianne Williamson reference.
In a big way.
Yeah.
Once you understand who you are, then you have the choice to share that with the world and also understand how to regulate it. So in the workplace, you don't really want to go Harry Caray. You don't really want to spill everywhere. But you also don't want to keep everything bottled up. You want to let people get to know you. You want to get to know them. The only way to do that, though, is start trusting yourself. And that is a journey. How do you trust? Yeah, you just got to go through the motions, my friends.
You got to go through the motions. I love the start with the values, start with the triggers, and ask your friends as the first methodology. I love that. And then I think you go, and I agree with you. I don't think we're ever going to stop learning, especially the peeps on this show. I love our community. We call them the peeps. There are some lifelong, the peeps, they have some lifelong learners in this crew.
Yeah, and they wouldn't be on here if they didn't. If this is who you are, that's the energy you put out there.
That's right. Well, thank you, Claude. And let me ask you this. Where can everybody find you? Where can they get the book? All the thanks.
Okay, you can get the book at beyourselfbook.com. And you can find me at claudesilver.com or LinkedIn. That's usually where I am. Write me. I'm going to write you back.
Yeah, and Claude's got an awesome LinkedIn presence, so must follow. And I have one final question for you, Claude. This is the most important one, okay? How are you going to make today more playful?
Oh my God, I love that. Well, first and foremost, my coworker brought me an iced chai while we were talking.
So nice.
And that starts it off. And we're going out for dinner, me and the team. And so we're going bowling, taking them out bowling.
So fun.
And then we're going to have, you know, hot dogs and burgers.
Love it. Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm wishing you some strength.
Yes.
Some joy. Yes. So, you know, all the bowl 300, all the things. But Claude, I'm so glad you're back. Like, you are just such a, you are a presence, an authentic presence, truly. I mean that with my whole heart. And we're rooting for you over here. So we'll have you back for book.
Please.
The next one? I don't know.
I'll just come back.
You'll just come back. Okay, that's fair. Because they're a lot of work. They're a lot of work. But okay, this is the best play date. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.
Y'all, having Claude on this show is like a breath of fresh air. I just adore her and the work that she is doing. Thank you, Claude, for your wisdom, your heart, your courage. Thank you for reminding us that kindness is strength, humanity is strategy, and authenticity is leadership. You are changing the way the world works. And my peeps, I'm going to leave you with an affirmation for you for this week. I want you to close your eyes and just feel this in your heart, your soul, your body. I can be myself at work and anywhere I go. I can be myself at work and anywhere I go. Let me say this. If this conversation spoke to you, I would love for you to share it with a teammate, a leader, or anyone who needs permission to just breathe again. Work does not get better when we hide. It gets better when we show up. I'm so proud of you, my beautiful peeps, for being you, for showing up here, investing in you. I want you to keep playing and keep leading, keep improving, because this world needs that very special it that only you can bring. I'll see you next week.